The Wolf Riders storm a mountain and throw down with some fellow elves. But have they found the High Ones or a den of evil? All that and more today on episode number 207 of Just Another Fanboy. This is ElfQuest, part 11. Hello and welcome to another episode of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host. My name is Steven. And you know what? I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm here to talk about ElfQuest issue number 11, which was published in October of 1981, and it's entitled Lair of the Bird Spirit. So we open up this issue. Strongbow is in pain. He looks like something's attacking him, but it's not physically, it's mentally. He's in a cell. The bars have thorns on them. There are two people looking into the cell. One appears to be a woman with long black hair. The other appears to be like some kind of freaking mutant bird man elf thing. He's got a big fin on the top of his head and his arms are wings. Creeping up behind them is someone with a knife. Well, the woman, the elf woman, the elf maiden, whatever you want to call her, the one with the long black hair, senses that somebody is creeping up behind her with a knife. And she turns and, using her mental powers, knocks this person out, who happens to be Strongbow's wife, Moonshade. These two new elves begin to speak. They are both much taller than Strongbow. They don't seem to have, obviously, any of our elves' interests in mind in any way. So, but they've got Strongbow prisoner, and Moonshade is trying to get him free. These two elves, we learn here fairly soon, are Winnowill, that's the woman with the long black hair, and Tildak. He is the mutant elf bird thing. So if you remember from the previous issues, the Wolf Riders have been separated. Cutter and Skywise have left the village out in the desert. They've gone back to where the Holt used to be. They're trying to find evidence of other elves. And in the meantime, Sava, who is the mother of memory back at the village where the Wolf Riders were living, she has been going out in her astral form to just make sure that Cutter and Skywise are okay. Well, something happens to her while she's out of body, and Cutter's son, Suntop, who also seems to have some of these same magical abilities, even though he's just a little boy at this point, he does what he can to try to bring Sava back, but he can't. He's able to communicate with her, though, and he learns that there's some kind of evil threat that Cutter and Skywise are walking into. This threat is whatever caused Sava to be trapped within herself. So the Wolf Riders, along with Lita, Cutter's life mate, and their two children, set off to try to find him and Skywise and warn them. In the meantime, they are heading for this place called the Blue Mountain because they have met a tribe of humans that are not immediately just straight up enemies of the elves. In fact, one of the humans that he meets, she comes from these people that live in the foothills of the Blue Mountain, and they worship elves as spirits and or basically gods. And so Cutter and Skywise want to go to this Blue Mountain to see who these other elves are. Well, as the Wolf Riders are trying to find them, they shoot down a giant bird from the sky to eat for dinner that night, and then they are all carried off by these birds, with the exception of, I think it was Red Lance, and man, why can't I remember his girl's name? Is it Nightshade? I don't remember. I'm getting all their names mixed up. But anyway, most of the Wolf Riders get captured and are being held prisoner in Blue Mountain. And Cutter and Skywise, and they find One Eye outside. He hasn't been taken captive. He's been waiting outside to try to figure out a way to get in. Well, they are able to get in, and they quickly overwhelm Winnowill before she can use her magic mental powers on any of them. And Cutter finds out quickly that these elves that have been captured, They've all been used as slaves, basically. They're being forced to work for these elves within the Blue Mountain. And Strongbow is a prisoner because he committed a crime. He shot down one of their birds. Well, a strange, you know, kind of temporary peace begins between these two tribes of elves. And Cutter is taken to meet their leader, Lord Vol. He is a very old elf. All these elves that live in the mountain are very tall. They're tall and slender. They're tall like humans. And because of that, they are very... Well, they look a lot. They resemble the wise. Good Lord, I can't talk. They resemble the high ones, basically, because the high ones, it appears that the older an elf gets, that they grow, they get taller. We don't know actually if the Wolf Riders will ever do this, because it is learned at one point in a previous issue that these Wolf Riders are actually the spawn of a high one who was able to shapeshift into a wolf, and that high one mating with an actual wolf. So the Wolf Riders actually have the blood of wolves within them. So that may stop them from growing tall like the other wolves. Lita, for example, is older than Cutter, and she's already a little bit taller than him. But anyway, when they meet Lord Vol, one of them makes mention of their children, and Lord Vol berates them for the cruel joke. He does not believe that elves are, because they've been living basically in seclusion inside this mountain away from any other elves. They think, or at least they thought up until this moment, that they were the last of the elves, and none of them are having children. They bond with these giant birds, and a group of them go out and ride these giant birds and go hunting and bring back food for the others inside Blue Mountain. Some of these elves, these are very, they've held on to a lot of their magical abilities. For example, there's one elf there that's just called Door. And it literally, this elf just sits in an alcove above a door and never moves. And it's a rock shaper. And it's this elf, whether it's a boy or girl, they never explain. This elf's only job is to use its rock shaping powers to open a hole in the wall or a doorway, open and close a door. Basically, that's this elf's only purpose in life. But Lord Vol is just, he's at this point where he's like, we are no longer having children. The elves are going to die off. And so when one of the Wolf Riders mentions having a child, Lord Vol gets upset. You know, they're trying to, at this point, Cutter is trying to negotiate some kind of peace with these elves, because he understands that Strongbow committed a crime in their eyes, but they had no idea that it was, what they had done was a crime. They're hunters. It's not beyond them to shoot a bird out of the sky. They did not know that it was a bonded bird to one of these other elves. Lord Vol used this as the example. What if we kill one of your wolves? And Cutter, of course, is immediately defensive. You know, I would kill you. So anyway, he's trying to negotiate some kind of peace. He's like, you know, I understand that now you have one less bird and you're not going to be able to do a lot of hunting. We can do the hunting for you. Just let Strongbow go. But at some point, the subject of children come up. And again, Vol is upset because he thinks that's a cruel joke, a cruel jest that they are making, because there are no more children. Children of the elves are no longer born into the world. And Cutter and Lita are telling him, no, we have two children ourselves. They're just outside. We left them out there. We didn't want to bring them into this battle. And he says, if you can show me proof that there are elven children in the world, then you will be giving me the greatest prize ever, and we will let you go. And so they bring Suntop and Ember, Cutter and Lita's kids, into the mountain. The Lord Vol is very happy to see them. And he says, okay, you know, you spoke the truth. I'm going to let you go. And he says, but I ask you to please stay with us for a little while. You know, I would love to be around children. I haven't been around children in centuries, and it's a wonderful thing to see children again. And I would love to be around them for a while. It would do good for each of us to learn about each other. And Cutter's like, well, I don't know. I don't think, you know, we really shouldn't, because we're on a quest to find the high ones. And Winnowill, this is the way the issue ends. She's like, well, then your quest is at an end, because we are the high ones. And that's how the issue ends. Now, whether or not they are the high ones, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to tell you yes or no. I know the answer, but I'm not gonna divulge that at this point. But we're gonna be here in Blue Mountain for a little bit. There's gonna be some big changes coming just based on the fact that they are here at Blue Mountain with these elves, because these are just a completely different group with I mean, the way they live is just very odd compared to how either the Wolf Riders lived or the elves from the Sorrow's End village, the way they lived. I mean, like I said, they've got that one elf that just all it does all day long is open and close doors. That's its job. And they have elves. There's this giant, we haven't seen it yet, but there's this giant egg that tells the entire history of the elves, or at least how they came to Blue Mountain. And there are elves that do nothing but keep this giant egg floating. It's a giant stone egg, and they shape it to continually add to the story. And there's layers upon layers upon layers inside this giant egg. It must have started very small at one point, and over the centuries have gotten larger and larger and larger. But I mean, this wasn't a grand epic story, life-changing issue, but we have now been introduced to some very important characters in this world. Winnowill, Lord Vol, Tildak. He's a strange one. You find out that I've talked about recognition before. We're two elves. There's this survival instinct that was built within the very core, the very soul of each elf to continue the propagation of their species. So that two elves that are meant to reproduce, basically, when they meet each other, it's this thing called recognition, and they can't do anything about it. Like I said, it's like deep within their soul that almost forces them together, and they can either, like Cutter and Lita, spend the rest of their lives together, or they can get together and reproduce, and then that's about it. And one of the younger female elves, one of the Wolf Riders, I think her name is, good Lord, I've got to look this up because I'm not remembering anybody's names. Dushine. Dushine, who is basically, she is in love with Scouter, who is One Eye's son. Dushine, I think she's Tree Stump's daughter. They are not recognized, but they have this deep affection for each other. And they know that, you know, that they're going to be together for the rest of their lives. But Dushine, apparently, when her and Tildak first meet, recognition erupts between the two of them. And that's going to become a thing going forward that really complicates the story and moves it into kind of a weird direction for a little bit, at least their part of the story. Every time I do one of these episodes, I talk about how much I love this comic. And really, I was to an extent raised on this comic. This was something I discovered when I was rather young, preteen probably. And it really shaped a lot of my comics reading and helped grow my love of the fantasy genre. And I don't have a lot to say about this issue is the thing, because really, in the end, all that we have here is Wolf Riders have been imprisoned, or at least enslaved, by the elves at Blue Mountain. The other Wolf Riders come to save them. A peace is brokered. And we get the revelation at the end that these elves are the High Ones. And that's where we're at. So did Cutter and the Wolf Riders find what they were looking for? What's going to happen going forward? It's up in the air at this point, folks. It seems like they've landed right where they were meant to land, and they have found a group of elves that they could learn a lot from and might possibly be the High Ones. Winnowill seems a little iffy, if not possibly the epitome of evil when it comes to the elven culture. She's a very magical. They all seem to be very magical. We don't know. One of the things, of course, that we are asking ourselves as we're reading this comic, what the flip is the deal with Tildak? Like I said, he is like a mutant half elf, half bird, but not like bird as in he doesn't have feathers. It's almost as if his body was shaped in such a way that wings were grown between his arms and legs. And yeah, he's got a big fin on his head, I guess, that helps him steer when he's flying and whatnot. But we'll learn more about him and how he got the way he got a little bit later. But this was issue number 11. Not a lot really happened to move the story really forward. Not a lot of big revelations in this issue, but still a great issue nonetheless. And I'm looking forward to reading more. And I hope you are there with me during all that. Until then, folks, my name is Steven, and I'm just another fanboy. Be nice to each other.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job.